The kind of message I'm going to do today really has to do with the whole idea of what is going to help us not wreck our lives. And last week we really talked about a pretty sensitive subject, and you laughed a lot, which really hurt my feelings. No, not really. But last week we looked at adultery, and one of the things that I noticed that is a real key factor, in helping people just to not wreck their lives, really has to do with a heart issue, a deep heart issue of really where they are at with God in their lives. And so, you know, we're going to take a whole week on that, and it's not near as humorous maybe as some of the things we were able to look at last week, but really this is the foundation, this is the key, and we kind of start out with a hand survey on that. We're going to do that again here today in just a moment, but for our Horizon venue and our video venue and all of us, we're going to do this survey together, and I hope you'll be honest with this. When I ask the question, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand yet, if you're going to raise your hand. But really the question is this. Do you feel you're closer to God today than you used to be at another time in your life? That's the question. And I don't want you to raise your hand yet. Let me explain it just a little bit more. Is your experience with the Word better today than it used to be? Or is there a time in your life where you used to really go to the Word really expectantly and really saying, you know, all I want to do is just to learn to grow spiritually? Is that really who you are today? Is the idea of your prayer experience that it used to be you went into prayer really expectantly and felt like you heard the whispers of God? Or has it been something that has just been kind of more non-existent in your life than it used to be? So I'm qualifying the question here. Did it used to be when you came to worship, you came really expectantly and you really thought, you know, there just might be a friend that would connect with this. It's a safe place to come and to be a part of. Or is it something that's just kind of, you know, it's all right to come really late and leave really early and kind of check it off the list. And so it's that type of thing in your life. So the point is this. It's in your life, do you feel like, not if you feel like, in your life, do you know that you're closer to God today than you used to be? Or can you look back and say, you know, maybe there's a time earlier in my life where I was closer to God? This is a really, really honest question I'm asking. I'm really hoping that you will just give a super honest answer. So if today you're saying, you know, if I really, really look at it for whatever reason, work schedules, everything else, I'm just not as close to God now than I used to be. If that's you here today, right now, this is such a non-judgmental place. Some of you, you know, you're not a follower of Jesus at all, and that is so fine. We have so many people at New Life that are just checking that out. But if you've been a follower of Jesus, but for whatever reason you would say, I'm not as close to God today as I used to be. That's a really honest answer be able to give. And so, you know, at all of our venues and right here, right now, if that question describes you, I'd like you to raise your hand right now. Okay, would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Would you just do that? Do that. You're not as close to God now as you used to be. Look around the room, and we have several hands that have been raised. And so, you know, this message is really just kind of for all of us here on this. But it's kind of like, you know, the one cool thing being as old as I am right now is when you used to date, you know, the cars had different seats. I mean, you had one full seat in the front. My first car, the 1965 Ford Galaxy 500, four-door. and you know, and it had a 289 engine, which is an undersized engine for that. I never won any race. We used to have what was called Mission Boulevard. It's kind of like, you know, you'd have drags up and down. I never won anything on that. But it had a big front seat, and that's all that mattered if you're a young man. Because you don't know, some of you that are younger and you have bucket seats, when you date a girl, she always sits over there. I mean, there's nothing else. Or she's going to sit on the emergency brake, and that's really uncomfortable, okay? So this is the deal. You could, if you're dating a girl, you just blew off seatbelts in those days anyway, right? And if you remember, when you were dating a girl, she would slide all the way over, and you would put your arm around her, and you would drive one-handed like this. Does anyone remember seeing historic comedy movies of people doing stuff? I actually lived that right there. But imagine a couple, that's how they met. That's how they met. And they dated, and she slid all the way over. And then they've been married 20-something years, and he still has that old car because he just loves it. So they're driving around, kind of memory lane, whatever. Only she's sitting over by her door now, and she looks at him, and she says, "Honey, do you remember when we were first dating? We used to snuggle in the car, and I'd be right up next to you." And then he looks at her, and he says, "Honey, the only thing I can say is I haven't moved." I haven't moved. And so when you look at your relationship with God and you feel, you know, I'm not as close to God today than I used to be, the question is, who moved? Who moved? And when that happens to us, it's kind of a dangerous place to be, because if you look at this life in terms of light and darkness, in terms of needing guidance, in terms of needing direction for those things that matter, not only now, but for eternity. It's kind of like when I was a kid. I don't know if you've ever been to Carlsbad Caves. Carlsbad Caves actually have a tour, and they made a big impression on me even as a kid. We went into these big caves that had all these different colored lights, and you have all the stalactites, and I forgot the other ites and tites and whatever. But you have all those things going on. And then at one point, they had the whole tour group clustered in a larger area of the cave. And then the park ranger said, "Okay, cut the lights." And they did. And you kind of heard a gasp in the room, because it is so dark. And have you ever been in a room that's just so dark where you put your hand up and you can't see it, but yet you kind of know because you can feel the heat of your hand as it's getting closer to your face? It was that kind of dark. And then the park ranger turned on a little pin light. And that little pin light looked so bright in this gigantic black cavern. And then what they did, just for a little bit, they says, "Just for the next few feet or so, we're going to continue the tour with just some flashlights from the park rangers." And you know what I did instinctively as a kid? I let go of my dad's hand, and I scurried to try to get as close to the park ranger as I could who had the flashlight. And I think everyone kind of did too. Everyone stayed really close together. And when you get far from God, it's kind of like you're in the cave, but you decide, "I wonder what's going on in the other parts of the cave here." And so you kind of get further and further behind. But the further you get away from the group where the light is, the more dangerous it gets. But you are oblivious to that. It's kind of like the frog in the kettle we talked about last week. You put a frog in a kettle and you turn the heat up slowly, you can boil a frog alive. But if you turn the heat up all the way very quickly, it'll jump out of the pot. And that's the strategy the evil one uses. And so there's a little foundation here I want to talk about. If you have your New Life notes, you can get them out and follow along really easily. And the first one is this: Satan wants to destroy your faith. Satan wants to destroy your faith. He'll do anything he can to do that. Whatever works for you, he'll use. If you can use circumstances in life, he'll try to use that. If it's a crafty argument from someone, he'll use that. If it's someone acting badly, he'll use that. You know, whatever he can use, he'll use that in your life. In fact, 2 Corinthians 11:13 says this: "But I'm afraid that just as Adam and Eve back in the day in the garden where the evil one, Satan deceived them." Paul, who wrote this, uses that as an example. "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning," that's another name for Satan, "your minds may somehow," that is here, I don't know how it could happen, knowing what you've experienced, what God has saved you from, but even with all of that, for what God has already done for you, "somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." And so Jesus told an in-depth story. Jesus was a master storyteller. He used an in-depth story that was a very common mindset and experience for all of the people at this time. He used to teach in the synagogues and temples, but by this time he was kicked out of there because he was disrespectful to their regime or whatever. So Jesus kept on teaching, and he said, "I'll teach to the leftovers." He didn't say it that way, but these are the people that no one else cared about. And he said, "You know what? And I'll just teach outside." And so Jesus went out by a lake, and he attracted thousands and thousands of the poorest people in the area that no one else really cared about. And this is where he taught some of his most powerful teaching. He told this story about farmers and about soils and about sowing seed. And this is a very common thing. A guy would have a leather strap and a leather bag, and people, in fact, when he's telling that story, he was on an area where people would sow their seed. And so he was talking to thousands of people. It's a natural amphitheater where they're at by the Sea of Galilee. Fascinating. You can go there now, and I saw a video of this. Someone standing on the shore. You could stand all the way up on the hilltop and talk in a normal voice and be heard. Very fascinating where the actual location of this teaching was. But there could have been actually people out over, they could see in other areas, actually working and sowing seed. It would have been the time of year to be sowing seed. And so Jesus is using that as a visual example. And what he talks about is in this very common example, even the area they were at, they could look around and see different types of soils. And so in Matthew 13, he gives a strong visual of this. And he says, when a sower sows seeds, if you notice, there are pathways that are through the land that he's sowing, this farmland. And where there's a pathway, it's very hard for the seed to take root. And the birds come very quickly and just snatch up those seeds. But if you notice, too, as he's sowing seed, there's also dirt, there's soils, areas that it has rocks in it. It has large rocks and little rocks. It's just a lot of pebbles and rocks and everything, and there is soil in with it. And so seeds can take root there, but they take really shallow root, and they grow very quickly, but as soon as the sun comes out, there's any kind of problem, it just withers. And he said, as you're sowing seed, there's also, looks like good ground, and the seed takes root very quickly again, but this time, there are thorns, and the thorns grow up with the promising sapling, and it grows and intertwines with it, and it chokes it off, and it kills the sapling. And he says, but if you also notice, and this is where the kajing comes in, almost everything Jesus taught, the vast majority of what Jesus taught had to do with money and everyday living. Money and everyday living were intertwined. He says, but if you notice the good soils, where you have the good soils, notice the reap is 30, 60, and 100 times. How would that translate for us? You know, you have some loser stocks, don't you? You have some things that don't work. But this is why you diversify, isn't it? Because sometimes you get that one stock or those two or three stocks that just way outperform what anyone ever thought that they would do. And hopefully 30 kajing, 60 kajing, 100 times, right? So he got their imagination. So instead of seeds and soil, you can think stocks if you want. And so they're going, okay, we know this, we see this. What's the big so what here? This is the foundation for a simple little list I have for you. So don't worry about that this list is balanced out. Your little blanks, you'll get them all filled, okay? And so they're going, so what? And he goes, okay, this is what this means. In your life, Jesus is saying there's basically four kinds of people that relate with God. Four kinds. The first is like the path, and seeds are sown there, but the path is so hard that the seeds can't penetrate. And it says, these are people that are listening to me right now. In fact, application, listening to me right now as I'm trying to teach the word of God. But you know what? It's just going to go nowhere. You know, you have a mindset or whatever that it's just not going to really go anywhere. And so, it's hard veneer, whatever. And then Satan would be kind of like the bird coming and snatching the seeds up. This is someone that says, yeah, this is good for someone else, not for me. It says that's one type. Another type are people that have kind of a rocky soil. He says, these are the people that when they hear this, they respond with joy immediately. He goes, wow, that sounds like a good deal. I'm in. And so without ever really thinking it through, they just kind of invest into this thing, says, boy, you can count on me. I'm going to be there. It's going to be really, this is a great, great thing. But the first time there's a bumpy road, they cash in and goes, no, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be a part of this thing at all. So the very next step is they go, no, I'm in. No, I'm out. And they're gone. Then there's another group where they hear these things and they hear the good news of who Jesus is. They says, you know, this makes a lot of sense in my life. But then, you know what happens to this group? It's just the pressures of life. Life happens. They might have really good aspirations, but life just happens. And, you know, maybe when they invite a God into their life, they're single, then maybe they get married. Next thing you know, maybe they're blessed maybe with a baby or something like this, but they're both still working, and you have all this stuff, and you have agendas, you have all these things, you're trying to balance your budget, and you have 72 activities that you're supposed to be a part of, and the next thing you know, God gets crowded out more and more and more financial pressures, but in addition to that, you're having to work longer and longer because you want more and more nice things. Even legitimately, I want the best for my kid. That sounds like a really good deal. But then in the midst of that, God gets crowded out. So it was never an intention, but it has just happened. And then he said, and then there are those people that when they hear about this, they see the treasure that this really is. They go, wow, this is the most important thing, the most important decision I can make in my life. I commit and dedicate the rest of my life to this. Sure, they're going to have a job or whatever. But if you notice, of the four kinds, only one out of four have really connected. Now, I don't think that's necessarily proportionately equal 25%, but it is one out of four type of people where you start with a passion, and then maybe the pain is eased up because of what God's done in your life. It becomes more placid. And then you just become kind of passive. So, I remember as a kid, I don't know if this ever happened to you, when you're kind of out on a lake, and they have those little square wood decks, you know, you can kind of dive off of. And I was there next to that, and I was on an air mattress, and I fell asleep on the air mattress. And, you know, my older brother is always instructed to watch after me, which he never really did. and I woke up and definitely had a sunburn, but also that wood raft was a long way away, and the shore was a long way away, because I just slowly just kind of drifted away. And that's really what the Word of God talks about, what can happen to us. Hebrews 2:2 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not, and it says here, we do not drift away. We do not drift away. And so, we're talking about five easy steps to wreck your life. We have a guarantee. We talked last week how to wreck your marriage through adultery. And if, you know, if you really want to just drift from God, and you just want to do things your own way, if you want to wander through the cave without light, you know, I'm going to give you some really good tips right now. So, you know, fill these things in. The first thing is just neglect God. Neglect your time with God. You know, the word says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. So the whole experience there. And so really what you need to do is make sure you ignore the word of God. You know, make sure you say, you know, wow, you know, if I think about it, it's been a month since I cracked my Bible open. Okay, that's a good practice. If you want to drift from God, that's one of the first things you should do really, really well. Add to it also, make sure that, you know, this worship thing, that you don't really do that. Even if you show up here, that's great. But just kind of stare at people up front here. Don't ever engage with the lyrics and the song. Never sing. Okay, never sing. A really good posture is this. That's a really good posture during worship. And just let them kind of perform up front and go, you know, they look kind of happy, don't they, you know? Yeah, and, you know, whatever. And just kind of see it and pretend like they can't see you out there, okay? You know, like it's a screen. But, you know, and if you want, you know, pretend it's like a TV channel. If you don't like it, just try to change the channel on them, you know. And so, you know, but just the whole worship thing, and just kind of shine it on. Don't get involved in church in any way, some of you are not connecting New Life, and that's fine. But if you're trying to connect at New Life, ignore what's on the front of the New Life notes. Because what's on the front of the New Life notes is several ways, if you're newer here or whatever, that you can connect. There's things like church chat. There's just fellowship events. There's great things you can be a part of. Just blow that all off. Don't be a part of any of those things. And for God's sake, I say that literally, for God's sake, don't give. You know, if you want to drift from God, make sure, you know, because you can never afford that anyway. Don't pray. So that's a good one. If you don't like your circumstances, another great one, if you want to drift from God, is blame God. In any way you can, find a way to blame God. I see the people do this all the time. I mean, I talked with someone just this week, a new friend, and they're one of the top executives for one of the top two or three private industries in Northern California. And they're just talking about a really close relative friend of theirs. And this is kind of where they're at. They've drifted from God because they've chosen a couple of things to blame God for, and they're sticking to it. And that's good. That's good initiative. If you can find something to blame God for and just stick with it, you will drift from God. It says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. When you look at that verse, say, well, this doesn't make sense to me. There's no one that knows better for me than me. And so, you know, I'm not going to trust anyone else. I'm not going to trust anything else. And so you have this deal, like last week, I just want to be happy. And you have your own version of being happy. And that's what you want to do. So this is how you blame God. Always look for Christians behaving badly. And then just chalk it up. Chalk it up on a list. I remember once I was, they used to have these old bumper stickers, and I only did this one time, and I never did it again because of this experience, okay? And it said, honk if you love Jesus. So I'm behind them, and they must have thought that the light, right when I did that, we're in a left-hand turn lane, the light turned green, and so they must have thought I was just really in a hurry. And so I honk, the light turns green, and then the person in the front who loved Jesus with me put his left hand out of the car and waved at me with just one finger up, you know, just waving at me. I'm going, I love Jesus too, you know. And so, yeah, but find those things where Christians are behaving badly and go, see there, see there, see there. And just make a checklist. Make a checklist of all. Another thing, if things happen bad in your life, check that up too. See, there you go. You just can't count on this God. And you know, ignore verses that God already has in the Bible. Things like this. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. He said that. Ignore that God wants to work through circumstances like this. Not put them in your life. Life already has them. And that's what gives us free will and free choice. But ignore anything that God's wanting to teach us how to persevere or to build character in our life. Just ignore all that. Just say, God, I want to be happy, and I want to be happy in my version of how I want to be happy. And when I'm not happy that way, guess who's going to get the blame? And so, you know, you hang on to all of these things, and then you neglect your time with God. You blame others. You hang around bad influences also. That's another really, really good one. Because if you hang around really solid Christians, they're going to talk into your life. They're going to speak into your life. They're going to try. They'll start rubbing off on you. And the next thing you know, you'll start spending time with God and doing things like that, which you don't want to do because you want to drift from God. So make sure you don't hang around people who are really wanting to be followers of Jesus. Because if you start being over flirtatious with someone who's not your spouse, they're going to call you on that and say, hey, you know, that's kind of dangerous territory. And so they're just annoying. You know, really solid Christians are annoying, so just stay away from them, okay? You know, you need to just back away from all that. And always date a non-believer, because they're going to always tug and question you on everything. In fact, better yet, marry someone who attends church regularly, but their lifestyle shows they're not a Christian at all. That's even better. Just come every week, be in church every week, but everything in their life, they're cultural Christians, but they live as if God doesn't exist. That's a really good one. And then allow celebrity influence to define your theology in your life. You know, what I've noticed in dialogue and movies and stuff, use this as your cannon fodder against a real Christian, because in the movies, the argument is always won by the person that has something bad happen in their life. And then you have the person of faith, and the person who's had something bad happen in their life but doesn't really believe in God shouts down the person of faith and says, well, if God is blah, 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 then blah, 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 blah. And then the person of faith just kind of, as a real wimp, just kind of sits there and goes, I'm sorry, please forgive me for ever questioning you. And they look at him with righteous indignation. You'll get that in any TV show, any movie, and the whole point is, wow, what a question. What a profound answer. And it's just, so you hang on to that, even though it's just not true. And there are really solid answers to tough questions, but you don't want to hear that. You'd rather have the celebrity spoon feed you this stuff that you can just walk away with. Given the temptation also. Given the temptation, each one is tempted, and when an evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Man, you know, even with Bernie Madoff, you know, how he got into that whole deal. He says, you know, I kind of got in early, and I just couldn't find a way out. Of course, the guy doesn't understand the word honesty. I get that. But, you know, there's just like a downward spiral that can happen to any of us. And so if you really want to drift from God, say to yourself this, I'm just weak. You know, I just can't overcome this. This is just who I am and how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And really, just go on your feelings. Whatever you're feeling at the moment, just do that. If you want to drift from God, just say, well, I just feel like doing this today. So just throw all this stuff away, discipline, things of that sort. And then love the world more than you love God. That's another one that will really help you if you want to drift from God. Do not love the world or anything in the world. It's what the Bible says. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what that means, if you really want to define this, when it comes to the possessions you have in this world, and you really keep them instead of doing with them what God wants you to do, that's a real definer to measure how far you are from God, which is good. So, you know, if God's saying, you know, you have all these possessions, can you give up some of this for others? Go, no, no, no. For what I want to do in life and all the things I want to do, there's no way I can spare even a dime. And then that defines for you that God's not in your life. So that's a really good thing to know. And so make sure you define your life by the stuff that you have. You know, the home you have, what you drive is your status, the home you live in, the places you've been around the world. Don't believe this world is temporary. Believe that this is the only place that really matters, and so invest as much in. And even if you have to hurt people because you only go around once, chase after those things that you need to chase after. Get in debt if you need to, because you need to do all these things. So don't believe the world's temporary. Just believe you have everything you need right here. Don't buy into the Bible being generous, for goodness sake. Never do that. And even have an attitude. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You know, church, talking about, you know, and always have that attitude. They're always talking about money at the church. That's a really, really good attitude to have if you want to drift from God. Whew. Okay. Do you understand the ploy and the strategy of sarcasm? Do you all understand that? If you're a new guest here today, do you understand I'm kind of being the anti-pastor right now in my teaching? All right. I'm teaching you how to wreck your life if you really want to. Now, let me give you just one more. If all that fails, then just fake it. Just fake it. I mean, you can do the church thing. You keep up a front of how you're living. Keep a mask on of church language, holy mask. And when people ask, how you doing? Just say, great. God's good all the time. Just say all those things. Are those true statements? Yeah. But are you feeling any of that ever? You know, if you're just dying inside and you're just putting on that front all the time, why? Because I'm mature. I'm strong. I'm here to help other people. And never let in that you really have a need of your own. You know, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, that's where out in the community they say, you know, church is full of hypocrites. Well, you know, there's a lot of that. There just is. But there's also a lot of that in our community in any area. So this is what God says. I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, for being vibrant, but you are really dead. Now, just let me say this, you guys. I know coming here today, it's just like, John, what happened to all the funny stories? You know, what happened to all the, you know, just whatever. And I know that. I know that. But this is the reason why I really felt strongly about this message today, is I could have given another whole list of how-tos and what to do's and whatever. But if your heart's not there, guess what? You're never going to apply it. If your heart is far away, you're never going to apply these things. I could give you, you know, seven other reasons to keep a healthy marriage. But if your heart is so self-focused, it's not going to be applied. And so really, when it comes down, there's just one issue today I wanted to talk about, and that is really how close are you to God? How close are you to God? And then there's really one action for any of us to take. And I'm doing this too because I know it's a little bit of a harder message today. It's because this is my life. You know, I was shocked when I got actually into full-time ministry, just what a grueling job it was. And what I noticed is I actually drifted further from God once I became a full-time pastor than I'd been just actively working in the church. It seemed it was a lot simpler, it was a lot easier. But then I just became so busy doing all the church stuff, and it became so easy to put the veneer mask on of spirituality and give all the right answers for the Bible and do all this stuff. But yet deep in my own heart, it became easier and easier to say, oh, I've looked enough at this stuff at work. And then to create a private world that was becoming more and more godless. That sound weird to you? I hope it doesn't. And so I had to really come to grips is whatever I do to get love right. And God has called me as a Christian to be in this role, but my number one role is just to continue to pursue God and to love Him with all of my heart and soul, mind, and strength, and not let the church stuff drive me too crazy, okay? And so I thought, wow, here I am doing this, and I, you know, when I'm just spiritually distant from God and going through all the functions of this, this might be happening to other people too. And so that's why I bring it here, and then I notice the soils of Jesus, about the four different soils. One thing I learned is this. There's a difference between feeling and faith. You know, there are many times when I continue to pursue God, and I look at the Word, and I read it, and I pray, and I'm faithful, I'm not feeling anything. I'm not feeling it at all. But I continue to be faithful in what I'm doing. And you know what I see in my life? Even when I'm not feeling it, there have been times in the past where I'm up front teaching and I'm not really feeling it, but yet I see God faithful to continue to encourage people, and I see people's lives change. You know what the Bible calls that? Fruit. That's what it calls it. Whether you feel like it or not, that's called fruit in your life, okay? And so if you're seeing fruit, if you're seeing results from things going on in your life, even when you're not feeling it, but you continue to get love right and do the right things, that's one thing. What I'm talking about is in your heart intent, you just back off from those things that are important to keep a relationship with God. You back off from the Word of God. You back off from prayer. You back off from generosity. You back off from Christian fellowship. You just back off of this thing saying, oh, I'm just not feeling it right now. That's when the drift really, really starts to happen in our life. Have you ever seen a Civil War reenactment? It's just really kind of interesting. You know, you have people in full, accurate uniforms, and you have like the Confederacy, and you have the Union soldiers, and they have historical accurate guns, and they have cannons and horses, and they reenact all these battles. And if you don't know any better, you see, you know, guns firing everywhere, you know, cannons exploding, you see people falling on the ground and, you know, smacking fake blood on them and all this stuff. And if you didn't know better, you thought it was a real battle. But the point is, there's a huge amount of activity going on there, but nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And that's what can happen in our life. And you know, there's a real war going on. And if we're not careful as a church and as individuals, we can do all kinds of activity, but there's nothing really happening. There's nothing really happening within our lives. There's no real fruit. And so, really, I think we just say at New Life, let's just get love right. Let's get love right. And so, if you just look at your notes here, it's return to your first love. I see so many do the church thing so well. And I see some that even start really well, but they drift from God. And you know what really concerns me is that I think they don't even really care. I see people that they just don't care a lot. You know, and Jesus said there'd be four different types of groups. Look, it says in Revelations 2, 4 through 5, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you need to do at first. You know, the word says, if you seek me, you will find me. It's kind of like that analogy again of the car. Remember the 1965 Galaxy 500? I know it's a little weird analogy for guys here. I get that. But really, it's the whole idea of just sliding over. It's us that slid away from God. And it's doing those things that you did at first to slide over and to be closer to God once again. So, you know, some of you, your connection here was never really solid with God. In fact, some people, if they saw you at church here today, they go, what are you doing here? You don't belong in a church. And that's kind of where you're at. And we just love that you're here, checking out the things of God and the things that God's doing in your life. And, you know, there are others here. There are others here that you've kind of known the things of God, but as soon as the road got bumpy, you know, maybe you've been here a year, you heard some good stuff, and you said, man, this is great, I'm going to do this. But yet a year later, your life really hasn't changed at all. It's just like it's gone over your head, and it hasn't connected with you in any way. And three out of these four soils describe people that drift away. And, you know, that's probably the quiet heartbreak that I deal with all the time. It's just kind of watching followers of Jesus and just really watching their lives. And I don't look at this a lot. I don't, but just when I see things that are like, where they're doing the whole God talk and everything, and then what they have is this, you know, their giving record or whatever, it shows nothing. It shows nothing at all. And they're like in that Confederate Union reenactment. And they go through all the motions, but there's no evidence and there's no fruit at all. That's a very scary place to be. And I don't want anyone here to be that. But boy, what keeps me going is the joy of seeing people that when they connect with God and seeing the gigantic change that happens in their life and the fruit that starts to take place in their life, it's really, really amazing. And so today's message is really foundational. Because when people drift away, I see heartbreak marriages. When people drift away, I see irresponsible debt. When people drift away, I see people treat each other badly. When people drift away, I see out-of-control addictions. They're doing the church thing. They're doing the checkoff list thing. But there's no real good fruit happening in their life. In fact, bad fruit is happening in their lives. But there's a way that we can get around this and to do much better. This is so foundational to anything else. You're going to wreck your life if you just leave the light away in the cave. Stay close to the light. And so I'm going to have really kind of an in-depth prayer with you all here today. And I kind of thought this through, and it kind of has to do with the soils. It's going to be kind of a prayer of repentance and renewing. And I want our venues, Horizon, and our video venue just to stick with me right now as I have a time of prayer. And you really, there's one group here. It's clear to you and others that you really haven't been a follower of Jesus. And yet you're here and today, you know, this is a day maybe that God is kind of orchestrating. It's not a mistake you're here today. I really don't believe that. And so there's going to be an opportunity connection for you to say, you know, you can stay, take a step closer to God right now, really close to God. And, you know, you might be hearing this thing, you're not today, you're not ready for something like this. Let me tell you, you will never be ready. You will never be ready for something like this. But there's always the opportunity. God says, today is the day that you can come closer to me. Jesus died for you. You know, he was sinless and he rose again from the dead. He's called the Son of God and he changed all of this. And you know, there needs to be a place where you just take a public stand and say, you know what, I don't care what anyone else thinks of me. I'm going to make a decision to invite God into my life. There's another group that you've been really good churchgoers, but you've been fooling yourselves and everyone else because there's no fruit in your life. Really, you come into church, but there's no fruit in your life at all. And you consistently defy key areas of your life. You just quietly keep in a tight box certain areas of your life where the Word of God has informed you on this, and you keep a quiet but determined disobedience in these areas. And the key issues are withholding you from God. And you're saying, you know what? I've been going to church here a long time. Might be a little shocking to people that I, you know, when I really look at it, I really haven't been a follower of Jesus. But today is the day I'm going to surrender my life and I'm truly going to become a believer. I'm truly going to become a real follower of Jesus. And so, you know, you two groups right here, those that haven't really been in church a whole lot, and maybe those who've been in church, but really, really, when you look at your life, there hasn't been a whole lot of fruit, whole lot of fruit. And you've come to a place, you're in the same boat, and you say, you know, I really don't care what anyone else thinks of me right now. I know this message is for me today, and I don't care what anyone else thinks. I'm going to make a stand for who Jesus is. This is what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going to clarify this for you. You're saying, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus today, not just a churchgoer. I'm going to become a follower of Jesus today. And so if that's you today, I want to keep the lights up here, and I know it's not as easy, but if I have spoken to you today, saying, it's my time to declare myself, I'm going to be a real follower of Jesus, not just a churchgoer, but a determined follower of Jesus. If I spoke to you today, I want all the campuses right here, all the venues, I want you just to raise your hand right now if I spoke to you. Raise your hand if I spoke to you. I want you to raise them up high. I want you to raise them up. I'm going to give you a chance here. Give you a chance. Okay. Now, there's one other group, and you know you've been a believer. You know you've been a believer. But if you really look at your life, you've really just kind of drifted. It's really become a real mediocre part of your life. And you haven't really connected with God a whole lot. And you're saying, you know what? It's time for me to reconnect, to really come home to the place I need to be in my life. In my life. And I'm today saying, I'm going to draw close to God. I'm going to draw close to God today. And so if that's you, you've been a follower of Jesus, but you know deep in your heart, you've just kind of drifted away. And it says, it's time to draw back close to God again. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? Okay. All right. Now I want the first group and the second group together. I'd like you to raise your hands. You do that, everyone. Okay. Very good. All right. I just want to have a word with everyone here. Lord, this is a hard message, and I'm trusting in faith that this is exactly what you wanted us to do today. And, you know, Lord, as we're all here in prayer together, I just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for how you're changing people's lives. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And now I turn it over to the different venues right now. You can continue in prayer with your group.